This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Thursday to all of you. It's actually my Friday because I'm off tomorrow, but that's neither here nor there. I'm excited to be here. We're going to have a really fun show. It's actually going to be more of a locally focused show today because there's a lot of things happening here in Massachusetts. We'll be taking tons of calls throughout the day. The number is 844-500-4242. One more time, it's 844-500-4242. So feel free to weigh in at any point in today's show. And we will have Woker Joke at 1:30. Now, there's a few things happening here. One of them I'm looking at right now on the local TV, and I find this one to be more interesting. That would be the Jerry Springer-like brawl that took place in the Boston City Council chambers yesterday. I don't know what
the cream of the crop!
I don't know what... I do know what was happening, and I've talked to a few people who were present, and I do know what went down. We have all the details. We will get into it. We will take your calls on what you think, but yeah, exciting stuff. I mean, I would have loved to be there in the room to feel that energy, to know that people are passionate about their local politics. I'm always telling you guys to be passionate about the local races, and here we go. This is taking that kind of fervent passion to the local level.
Your tax dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen.
Really? One of the quotes in the Boston Herald said that one of the Boston city councilors said this was a sad day for Boston. I would disagree. It might be a sad day for Boston. It's a great day for radio. I can tell you that much. We will get into that. But the other story that is on everyone's mind here in Massachusetts is the fact that Deal versus Doty. The race will occur. The primary will happen on September 6th. It's a hot topic here, and people will decide who they think can beat Mara Healey. Going to be tough with either one. Whoever you choose is going to have a tough time in Deep Blue, Massachusetts, trying to beat Hold It Healey. We had Doty on the show a few weeks ago, and when we were at Cape Gunworks, and Howie has been offering to host a debate between Doty and Deal. This would be their second debate. And Deal has declined a few times. I don't think that he's going to take Howie up on it, but I think knowing my boss like I do, I think he will keep asking. I do think it would have been nice for voters to have a televised debate. Like, forget, I know we're on Rumble and things like that, but it would have been nice if, you know, a local channel could have had a televised debate for a few reasons. And I actually thought this morning when I'm going through all the news, I thought they had one. I was like, oh, I'm glad I Googled this because I would have sounded like an idiot on the air if I had known that the two of them had sat down together. Turns out, actually, WBZ basically had to splice up an interview with Jeff and then an interview with Chris and make it seem they weren't trying to pull.
If there was a debate, it might go something like this.
You can almost imagine. No, they weren't trying to pull the, and Howie could help me out if you were here, the woman outside pretending to be outside with the jacket on. Like, they weren't trying to pull one over on us. They admitted that, no, they wouldn't, Jeff Deal didn't want to sit down and have the debate. So instead, they just showed one and then the other. But besides the fact that I'm so pro-debate, and you can argue, oh, it's grandstanding, oh, people have made up their minds. I don't think so. I think if we had had more debates, I think if Donald Trump had handled the first debate with Joe Biden better, he could be president right now. I think that's how consequential certain debates are. I think it gives people time to hear you talk and see if you can make sense of a sentence. We saw with Joe Biden that Trump did not give him ample time to kind of wow the crowd with his Socratic musings. That really could have helped. I used to say to my sister, everyone should have to listen to Joe Biden for at least 15 minutes before they cast their vote. So I'm big on pro-debate. I think it helps to have people hashing out the issues side by side. Maybe you have to get a little nasty. Maybe you're not capable of being a fighter. Maybe we see that. But there's another reason I think a televised debate would have been extremely helpful. These two men, and I think I can call them that. I don't think that's going to offend anybody. These two men sound a lot alike. Their actual voices sound, to me at least, incredibly similar. When I had Chris Doty next to me, I was like, if I shut my eyes, I would think this was Jeff Diehl. The tone of their voices, it's like gentle, kind of light. I think it would have been nice to have them side by side. People could see them, see their body language, see how they handle themselves. So that is a bummer. And I do think it tells you something when someone doesn't want to debate. I'll be perfectly honest about that. Another thing Howie had said that stuck with me that he said yesterday is that what we're going to see now, if Jeff Diehl goes on to win this, he's going to then want to debate Mara Healey. And she's probably not going to want to debate him because she's going to be the front runner and why bother? And then he's going to want to say, well, you know, you shouldn't be afraid to debate me. But how can he say, don't be afraid to debate me? If he's, and then other people might say to me, well, Grace, Chris Doty didn't want to debate Jeff when Jeff was on with Jeff Cooner. But I asked Chris Doty about that. And he explained that he had offered multiple debates and that Jeff had turned it down. And then the one that Jeff wanted, he didn't want to do. He actually gave a pretty good explanation. You can find it on our podcast. But I think if you think you have good ideas and you think you should be the winner, you would want, maybe this is just in an ideal world, as a politician, you would want the opportunity to talk about it. And you'd want the opportunity to make your case.
And I think this would have been a prime time to do it because we are in the midst of a red wave, as much as they're trying to downplay it. Look what, quote unquote, almost happened in New Jersey. Look at what happened in Virginia. This could be a situation where we're in a populist time and Mara Healey, a hack politician, is in the same position Hillary was in 2016, where we didn't want a hack politician. And if more people who, you know, don't love, even Democrats who don't love what Mara Healey's done in the state, see them up there, they could look and say, oh, wow, this platform, this guy makes sense.
But I only think that would happen. And it's actually, it's a great time to talk about this because I'm writing a piece right now for Spectator about those kind of undecided voters and what needs to happen for them. And I think Democrats right now are kind of, they're doing this reverse psychology thing where they say, they're trying to shame people. Like, you don't want to vote for us? We don't want your vote. Get out of here. Get on a bus and leave. And I think that's the wrong tactic to take. And I think that you have to think of people as winnable. Even if you know deep in your heart, like these people are so convinced that they're right, you still have to consider them winnable and you still have to treat them like they're winnable. And the only way to win over people, if you're Mara Healey versus Chris Doty or versus Jeff Diehl, is if people see you battling it out together. Because everyone can sound fine when they're by themselves. That's why I'm not a politician. I think you put me up against somebody. I like to think I could hold my own. But maybe I get a little hot under the collar. Maybe I'm one of those people who gets upset and then my eyes fill up. Like, you have to be able to defend your positions in a debate format. That's just, to me, that's just a basic thing. And I do think that if it comes down to Mara Healey and Jeff Diehl, she is going to throw that back in his face and say, well, why would I debate you? I mean, you didn't want to debate your Republican challenger. We'll get more into this in the 2 o'clock and we'll open it up to all of you because I'm sure there's plenty of you who disagree with me. So we will do that. We are going to discuss the Jerry Springer-like brawl that occurred in Boston City Council chambers yesterday. It was wild. If you haven't been following that story, and I just want to start with it because, you know, sometimes life hands you lemons and you got to make lemonade. You watch the footage of this and it's chaotic. It's unhinged. And it actually was unhinged before the fight. Like, I think this was a story before even the fight broke out. But once the fight broke out, oh boy.
Yeah, it overshadowed the actual story as to what was going on.
And if you haven't been following the actual story, let me just give you a recap. Previously on Boston politics. There have been weeks of controversy surrounding Boston City Councilor Ricardo Arroyo, and he's running for Suffolk County District Attorney. Now, Arroyo has been accused of multiple incidents of sexual misconduct after the Boston Globe reported that he was investigated for possible sexual assaults when he was 18 and 19, but he was not charged. Now, most politicians who previously had endorsed Arroyo, the embattled, don't you love that word? I had to throw that in here because he's embattled right now. He's dealing with, this is another term I heard a lot with Andrew Cuomo, when Andrew Cuomo was dealing with all his Chowbella moments. He's dealing with mushrooming scandals. I think I'm going to allow myself to say the word embattled and mushrooming three times each today. None of those past ones counted. So the embattled city councilor, who's running for Suffolk DA, he had a lot of support. He had support from Michelle Wu, from other city councilors, Ayanna Pressley. Almost everyone has dropped him like a hot potato since this stuff came out. And he's pulling a Sergeant Schultz. I knew nothing. He's like Joe Biden. He read about it in the newspaper like the rest of us. Well, at yesterday's meeting, he did have three city councilors who are still backing him. And that would be Tanya Fernandes Anderson and Kendra Lara and Julia Meja. Now, at yesterday's meeting, Anderson decided they were trying to prep everyone like, oh, let's all really try to keep it cordial here. You know, let's try to be nice to each other. It was just setting the scene. It was ominous. It was like, ooh, it was a precursor. You knew something was about to go down. So Anderson decides, she saw that advice, she heard that advice, and she said, you know what, no, I don't think I'm going to go with that. She instead decided to talk about people being lynched and dropped the F-bomb a few times. And she went on an impassioned, that's what the Herald called it, an impassioned speech. I would classify it more as unhinged, but that's neither here nor there. I'm not here to play editor for the Herald. Later, two groups. You know I love nothing more than when you have protesters and anti-protesters. Like, and I don't mean it when it gets really serious and scary. I just more mean like the Britney Spears, Free Britney, anti-Free Britney. People get really, really, whenever someone has a poster board, there's a good chance people are going to lose their tempers. And that's exactly what happened. You had the pro-Arroyo, you had the anti-Arroyo, and they ended up throwing insults at each other, and then fist flew. And the Herald mentioned F-bombs. I've heard that there was a lot more than F-bombs mentioned, a lot more bleeps required. And I guess what started the brawl was that one of the city councilor's relatives demanded a protester delete a video of her. And he said no, and then she swung at him. He swung back and got tackled. That's like a common thing you see nowadays, is people will film each other.
Oh, boy.
And then one person says, delete that. It's too late. I mean, you can almost guarantee if one person's filming, there's someone else filming. So I kind of think this was orchestrated by, and I don't want to come off like a tinfoil hatter here, but this was a great way for Arroyo to get his sexual assault case off the front pages and make this conversation about, I'm sorry, sexual misconduct case off the front pages and make this conversation about, this is what it's coming. It's becoming about now, racism in the city council. So mission accomplished. It probably worked.
Racism.
It's not often we start local here at the Grace Curley Show, but I would say it was worth it. I would say once you hear this sound, you'll be happy we did. 844-500-4242. Call in, weigh in. We'll be right back with more. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Grace Curley Show. You know who's getting a lot of play in all this? Is John Keller from WBZ, because he hosted the non-debate between Jeff Deal. They actually called it a virtual debate. It wasn't a virtual debate. interviewing one person and then interviewing another person and splicing them together is not a virtual debate. I don't care. I don't care what you're going for. That's not what it is. But I'm not here to criticize. So John Keller has that. And then he also hosted an actual debate between Arroyo and Kevin Hayden. And so Keller is having quite the day as far as all publicity is good publicity, because I've seen his name pop up more today than I have in a long time. So on that, congrats, Keller. And if you missed the story about Arroyo, yesterday was a wild one at Boston City Council chambers. And this is my favorite part of this is how Ed Flynn, who's a city council president, he tried his best to give everyone like a nice little warning beforehand. He said he was asking that we all be respectful to each other. That directive was not only ignored, it was thrown out the window. It was spit on, punched, and left outside. I want to get to this sound because I think that if you haven't heard it yet, it's worth hearing. Let's start with Ed Flynn. He's telling the city councilors that the next outburst by anyone is going to lead to him clearing the chamber. This is from WBZ, Cut 1.
After the next outburst from anyone else, I'm going to ask this whole body to be cleared from all spectators.
Okay, got it. And now we'll go to Frank Baker. He is talking about this, and I want to play. Actually, no, is it bad if we start with a brawl and then we go back to the...
Not at all.
Okay, I'm going to let you decide then, Jared, because...
Okay, I mean, yeah, Frank Baker was great because he was going off on them pulling the report on his own background, which was public. There was a lot more entertainment than that.
Okay, so I want a little cut here. Can I get some cut of the back and forth, of the scuffle? It's amazing that people can get so angry about this. It's also strange to me that there's such a pro Arroyo, you know, group of people. I didn't see that one coming. If you haven't been following his story, it's not looking good. I know he's claiming like, oh, I didn't know about any of this. That doesn't make any sense. And I'm going to read you a little bit here. Sean Philip Cotter has been doing a lot of this for the Boston Herald. Ricardo Arroyo and Kevin Hayden stood a few feet apart from each other and blasted away after 2 weeks of controversy in the race for 4 years as the Suffolk County District Attorney in a debate Wednesday night. So the debate they had, they both said that their opponent's character was an issue in the race for different reasons, obviously. What Hayden said is, he has repeatedly lied. There's no way he didn't know about these allegations, he added, slamming Arroyo's vain attempts to deflect the situation from his own misconduct. Now, the Boston Globe report surfaced old sexual misconduct allegations against Arroyo and questioned his handling of them since. Now, what Arroyo is saying is that the only place these old reports could have come from, could have been leaked from, is Hayden, who's the sitting DA. And I do think that there's something to be said for that. But then what happened was Arroyo's supporters in the city council, there's three women who support Arroyo, and they went crazy at the city council meeting. That's what we're going to play when we get back, because we need a little bit more time to kind of set it up and run through it all. But it was, depending on who you are, some people see it as a sad day for the city of Boston. Some of us just think this is radio gold. You be the judge. We'll be right back. It's Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Counselor, she says that this happened.
I'm aware of that, but I also know the
truth. Is she not telling the truth?
I believe in the truth, and I believe that these records will show the truth. That's why I'm looking for these files. I've said from the very beginning, I've never sexually assaulted anyone in my life.
That was Ricardo Arroyo, and we are going to kind of break down some of these sound cuts from the meeting yesterday that ended up turning into big old fight. It was a big fight. People were throwing punches and yelling and recording each other. It was Jerry Springer-esque. I haven't watched Jerry Springer in a long time. I don't think it's all reruns now.
Yeah, it's syndicated now.
Yeah, but that was good TV back in the day. Frank Baker is a city councilor, and he had requested records about Arroyo and these cases. And then what happened, and this is why he was ticked off, is that Kendra Lara, whose team Arroyo, I know it's like a little bit tricky to follow here, Kendra Lara, whose team Arroyo, requested records relating to Baker's 1993 conviction for possession with intent to distribute. He called that retaliation. Like, I'm trying to get to the bottom, and I'm just paraphrasing what I think it would be like. He's trying to get to the bottom of what's going on here with Arroyo, and then she's submitting this request for records from 1993, which he says he's been very open about. And that is a key difference here, because I don't think Arroyo, anyone could claim he's been open about this. If anything, he's been kind of pretending that he has no idea where this came from. So let's play Frank Baker. He's upset about the political attacks. I actually want to skip to cut three, please.
Transparent from the beginning. Prior to my being elected to my first term 12 years ago, the public knew of my past experiences. I've always been upfront about the paths I took, the lessons I've learned, and the changes I've made. In short, there's nothing new to be learned here, and this is on the 17F that's filed after me. Almost 30 years later, and in fact, the filing only demonstrates the length of desperate groups who go to seek vengeance on a person asking for documents of truth.
Can my colleagues please not interrupt each other? Councilor Baker, please continue.
Let me be clear. I have made amends long before this day and hold myself accountable.
We'll take a quick recess.
I will say there's something that gets added to this C-SPAN-esque soap opera when you have the old school Boston accents being thrown around. It adds just a je ne sais quoi to the whole scenario. Okay, now I want to skip to Frank Baker's final remark, where he was very ominous and he threw this out there in very dramatic fashion about Arroyo. And I think this was the line that caused, I mean, you could hear in that last cut, the people were already getting a little impatient. But this is definitely what made it personal for everybody. This is cut five.
Thank you, Council Baker.
I want to just end with this. If a predator continues to roam, the killing field only becomes larger. Thank you, Mr. President.
The chair. Excuse me. I asked for no interruptions from people in the galley. I'd like to ask again, please, no interruptions from the galley. And I'd like to ask no comments at all from my council colleagues when another council colleague is speaking. It's rude.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's very concerned about the rudeness, if I had to guess. I would also say that this is like, you know, when you go to a graduation and they say, can we all hold our applause to the very end? And once one family claps for their kid, it's over. Everybody's, once you set the scene that we're interrupting, we're yelling over each other, the cat's out of the bag. The toothpaste is out of the tube. Okay, nobody's being super polite at this point. This is a shouting match, and I'm here for it. Okay,
now decorum. Thy name is Boston City Council.
Now we have Kendra Lara, Boston City Councilor, and she starts to talk about how, and I think she is referring, you know, she's kind of alluding to Baker's record and how there's a different standard for certain city councilors. This is Kendra Lara, cut seven.
I filed it to illustrate something that has become very obvious to me in the last few days. That people of color in this city and on this council are not only held to higher standards, they are also disciplined in harsher ways by leadership.
I find this interesting because Ayanna Pressley was backing Arroyo and she rescinded her endorsement last time I checked. So was that racism at play or?
Racism, racism.
All right, now we need to get to the real meat of the Yell Fest. That would be Tanya Fernandez Anderson. I'm going to skip over a few things because, you know what? I'm like a reality TV just sucker. I'm not a big cursor. I don't curse a lot, but I love to hear an F-bomb thrown out every once in a while, especially when it's not supposed to be. So Tanya gets heated, and that's when, actually, we'll do one before the F-bomb, just to kind of lead into it, give the F-bomb enough context. This is cut 11. The word racist is dropped, and this is cut 11.
Your votes here sometimes are racist. You move sometimes in a way that hurts my people. And then when I get up to stand up and talk, oh, all she talks about is black stuff.
As you should.
I am here to represent every single black woman and man that suffers in the community. I am not afraid to not be elected again.
Okay, let's go to the next cut. This is cut 12, the same woman, Tanya Fernandez Anderson, cut 12.
Everybody is boiling up. People are calling me and telling me, don't say anything, stay in your lane, be quiet, sit down. You will lose your seat. They won't vote for you. Fight, don't fight. What the do I have to do in this council in order to get respect as a black woman? And I'm gonna tell you, I'm not afraid of losing the votes. I'm not afraid of deceit. I'm not afraid of anybody here.
This all escalated quickly.
Man, this is a Wendy's.
I don't want to come off insensitive to people's arguments. People get passionate. I will say, when you've got a mic in front of you, the yelling is a bit much. Everyone can hear, you know, and I do think that it conveys a certain level of disrespect for your fellow city councilors.
Loud noises!
When you're screaming at them like that. And it also, when you lower the discourse with F-bombs and banging on the table and screaming at each other, you're giving your supporters the idea that this is the way to get things accomplished, which is why, you know, moments later, we have a full-scale fisticuffs outside. And not even outside. It was inside, but it was outside the chambers. And this whole thing is just definitely more exciting than most meetings. Most times you go to those, you hear about those meetings and it's like watching paint dry. So I'm sure for the spectators, this was something else.
Yeah, for the people who sat through the first half hour of F-Bill 35 or
worth
District,
it.
Whatever it was, it was worth it.
Worth it. Worth the price of admission,
it's
for
like
sure.
Free Bird. It starts out slow, but it really builds in the middle, you know?
But I stand by the fact that whenever you have two groups outside with cardboard signs that say something, and it's like middle of the day, so no one's at work. No one is at their jobs. They're just there for this. There's a good chance things are going to get out of control fast. You don't have to be a clairvoyant to predict that. 844-500-4242. Okay, I feel like we covered that. I feel like we if anyone has any inside scoop or, you know, you want to call in, be an inside source, we don't want to jeopardize the investigation, but we'd be happy to take your calls. 844-500-4242. And we'll keep you posted. If anything else happens today, and it happens after our show, I can assure you that Howie Carr is on top of this.
Yeah, we do have to get one more Tanya Fernandez Anderson cut in there.
Please do.
This is...
You're the DJ.
This is nuts.
I look forward to working together with you. Don't come for me, because if you want smoke, you'll get smoke. I'm not afraid of any of you.
It's threatening.
That's how she ended.
If you want smoke, you'll get smoke.
Don't add me.
Whew.
See, this is... I was talking to Howie about this. This is what happens when you just elect screeching people. It's just screeching nonsense over and over again.
Like this is
activism.
There's
no decorum. Yeah, this is why activists, all they can do is yell. They can never actually make policy.
And it's a lot of grandstanding. The interesting thing is Arroyo was pretty silent throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, he gave his little statement on one of the measures, and then that kind of was it.
I've heard through the grapevine that a lot of people think this was the plan from the get-go, was to, you know, even the little brouhaha at the end, that this was all to get him off the front page and make it about this big fight. And like I said before, if that was the goal, then check. We accomplished it, right? Because this is what everyone's talking about. And most people are tuning into this and they're going, oh, they're not even paying attention to the root cause of the fight. They're just saying, oh, wow, people are punching each other outside the chambers. But it's interesting that he was quiet. I wonder if this is going to help him or hurt him. What do you think? I don't think if people listen to all of this, they would be too thrilled.
Yeah, I don't. The fact that it was his supporters on the council that were these screeching children tantrum stuff, I really don't think plays well for him, because I mean, if the allegations are true, that's something people don't like, and whether it gets pushed off or not, that's going to come back to make people, that's really going to turn people off to him.
Yeah, and also I'll add in here that I have it on good authority from the highest ranking Democrat in the land that what this country really wants right now is unity and people coming together across the aisle. And that was not what I saw yesterday.
Nobody wants smoke. They want unity.
Much to my chagrin, I might add. John, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. What do you got to add, John?
Hey, Grace. You know, I think you can put Counselor Anderson's personal history aside. It's a little troubling marrying convicted murderer at Cedar Junction, convicted of murdering a Muslim, son with possession of a firearm, a felon. And then her views on semi-anti-Semitic views in the tweet. Put that aside. But where has she ever advocated for communities of color that are under assault from people who are addicts, dealers, gangbangers? And I'm talking about not just Mass and Cass, but that area of Clifton Park that is a disaster zone that has needed her attention and other people's attention. And what does she do? She plays a race card to divide things even more when it's her own community. It's our own marginalized community screaming out for help. And this is what they get. Beautiful, isn't it?
Well said, John. Really well said. And a lot of good points there. I'm glad you brought this up. And I'm glad you brought up these communities that are struggling, because it brings me into another topic that I want to talk about probably in the 1 o'clock, and that is about the effects of the pandemic, because there's a new report out that is showing the math and reading scores for America's 9-year-olds, and it fell dramatically during the first 2 years of the pandemic. I like to call this the Fauci effect, and students of color saw some of the steepest decreases, widening the racial achievement gap. And we're going to talk about that. 844-500-4242. But you're right. There are so many communities right now, including here in Massachusetts, that that do need help, that are struggling. And this bleep show, this Charlie Foxtrot, is not helping. 844-500-4242. Thanks for the call, John. We'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
We all knew it was coming, and it finally has. The real estate frenzy has really slowed down due to inflation, interest rates, and the overall economy. For sale signs are sitting in the ground a lot longer, and buyers are backing out of deals, and large crowds of buyers have disappeared. So if you plan to divest on your most valuable asset, your real estate, then act now while demand is still hanging in there. Holding off selling or even renting your property could be a comfortable short-term solution, but not if you sell in a year or two for much less money. So don't hesitate. hesitate. Sell today at auction under your terms. In a J.J. Manning auction, your property sells as quickly as possible through a marketing plan and recipe which has stood the test of time. For over 45 years, and more importantly, in every type of economy, J.J. Manning consistently creates a competitive environment with cash buyers who are ready to close with no contingencies. To learn more on how to get your residential, commercial, or land property sold quickly, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111, or you can always go to jjmanning.com. Again, that's 800-521-0111, or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. All right, so September 6th will be here before you know it. And that is primary day here in Massachusetts. And people are going to either vote for Jeff Diehl or Chris Doty. And it's been interesting to watch this because I think everyone in Massachusetts knows when we're going in to vote for a Republican that there is more than a 50% chance that person becomes a mega rhino if they're not already a rhino. And if they win, if on the off chance that one of these guys might actually beat Maura Healey, will they turn into a Charlie Baker? That was always my number one question. How can we guarantee you won't turn into a Charlie Baker? And the truth is that we can't. And that brings us to our poll question, which is brought to you by ReadyWise. Global unrest is battering the food supply chain and the energy markets. It's incumbent on you to be prepared. Global unrest is not something that you want to be dealing with. So get ready with ReadyWise. Go to ReadyWise.com and use code Howie10 to get 10% off your next purchase. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who do you think has done more to earn your vote, Jeff Diehl or Chris Doty?
This is tough. This is tough. I'm going to say to earn my vote, and this could change, but as of right now, I would say Chris Doty. I think I've seen more of him. And of course, I had him on my program, full disclosure. But he did come on and he took questions from people and he was kind of on board to chat. And he's been to a few of our events. He goes to things, meets people. And that's important to me. I need to see you a lot. And I need someone who wants to be, you know, in the public eye and wants to debate. So I would say Doty.
88% of the audience says Chris Doty.
Really?
Only 12% say Jeff Diehl.
Yeah, and I do think that, and we can get into this in the 2 o'clock hour. I definitely think that there is something to be said for the fact that a lot of people in our audience have voted for Jeff Diehl and like Jeff Diehl, but it didn't work. And so sometimes after you vote for someone a certain amount of times, you get a chance to vote for someone else. You kind of go with the old Donald Trump. At this point, what do you got to lose? You know, you might as well try something different. 844-500-4242. But don't call in for that yet. We're saving that for the 2 o'clock. When we come back in the next hour, I want to read you this new study about the reading and math scores and how they fell and where they fell dramatically. And I want to contrast that with what Dr. Fauci said, which is basically that the shutdowns were no big deal. The shutdowns weren't that bad. And he goes on to brag in one of his many appearances about the Fauci effect. And I would argue that the Fauci effect is what we're seeing when it comes to learning loss across the country. Another part of this that I want to discuss is the doctor who was on CNN over and over again, Dr. Lena Wen. Did you see this, Jared? She was the star. She was like Dr. Fauci, Dr. Fauci Jr. Everybody loved her on CNN. You'll never guess who the alligator is going after now. Dr. Lena Wen is being canceled by the mob that created her fame in the first place. We'll talk about COVID when we come back, and then we got Woke or Joke at 1:30. Local hour coming up at 2. Don't go anywhere.
Don't cut for me, because if you want smoke, you'll get smoke. Hey, Howie.